I call your attention to Colossians chapter 2, where we took our scripture reading a little while ago, Colossians chapter 2. And this is a chapter that we've been in now for pretty much the whole of September, for 3 out of the 4 weeks in September so far. We've spent our time so far in verses 13, 14, and 15. And our theme has been the miracle of the gospel. What we wanted to do in the month of September was that we wanted to focus on the glorious achievements of Christ in his work on the cross. And so in verses 13 and 14 and 15, there were three different themes there, and we explored each theme in different Sundays. And so verse 13, we saw that when we were dead in our sins, that we were made spiritually alive. And then in verse number 14, we saw that when we were over our heads in sin debt, that that debt was nailed to the cross, and that God cleared us of all of that debt. He forgave us of our trespasses. And then last week in verse number 15, we saw that when we were enslaved under the power of darkness, our enemies were entirely defeated in the cross work of Christ. He spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his cross. Well, today being the last Sunday of the month, I thought we would take one last look at the gospel from this chapter, this second chapter of Colossians. And I want to call your attention to verse 10, verse number 10, where you have the Apostle Paul writing under inspiration, "And ye are complete in him." The him referring back to the hymn of verse 9, which refers back to Christ at the end of verse 8. "And ye are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power." Now, we're in a unique position to understand the significance of the second half of that verse after last week, aren't we? What does it mean that Christ is the head of all principality and power? Well, we learned last week from verse 15 that principalities and powers referred to the demonic spirit world led by Satan. And what we saw last week is that Christ entirely defeated those principalities and powers. He triumphed over them in his cross. Specifically, what verse 15 taught us is that he spoiled them. He disarmed them. He stripped Satan of the power to keep sinners dead in their sins. And he stripped Satan of that written record of our crimes that he loved to bring up and to make accusations and charges about. He was stripped of those two weapons. And this he did, this Christ stripped him of, not in his resurrection, not in his ascension, but in his cross. And that was to the great humiliation of the devil. It was very humiliating. As one of the men pointed out as we were leaving last Sunday morning at the door, he gave the thought that Satan was complicit in his own defeat. And that's what was so humiliating about the cross work of Christ. Christ making a show of him openly. Satan does not know the future. If he had any idea of what would be accomplished by the death of Christ on the cross, he never would have let it happen. He never would have orchestrated that. He thought he was triumphing. He actually thought that he was triumphing over Christ at the cross. But what happened was Christ was triumphing over him. And it was to the humiliation and embarrassment for all eternity to the devil that he was complicit in his own defeat. Christ made a show of him openly. He disarmed him. He humiliated him at the cross. Now he is the head of all principality and power. You see the significance of the second half of verse 10 based on what we talked about last week. Well, this morning I want to confine our thoughts to the first half of verse 10. Just that first phrase. And ye are complete in him. This is a phrase that we know very well, don't we? There probably isn't a Lord's day that goes by that that phrase is not quoted at some point in a prayer or in a sermon in this sanctuary. Complete in Christ. Our 7th through 12th grade students in Sunday school are working their way through a book that was authored by one of my seminary professors, a book on the gospel, and his title is Complete in Him. It is a summary of the gospel of Christ. What does it mean? I mean, really, what does that phrase mean? What are all the implications of that phrase? And ye are complete in him. The believers are complete in Christ. And that's what our theme is going to be this morning. Complete in him. And all I want to do is just take us through each word of the phrase, word by word, and remind you of the significance of what is said in this glorious phrase. Ye are complete in him. God says, ye, you are complete in him. Who's he talking to? Who's the you in verse 10? Well, just think, just let your mind go back to where we've been this month in Colossians 2. Who's the you? The you are those people who were dead in their trespasses and the uncircumcision of their heart. They were dead in willful, deliberate sins. They were dead in their very nature before God. The you is people who were walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The you are people that were enslaved under the power of darkness and blinded by the god of this world. The you whose life was characterized, absolutely characterized, by the pursuit of fallen desires out of your corrupt heart. That's the you he's talking about. It's the you who were by nature the children of wrath. That's the you. It's the you who were so estranged from God that you naturally recoiled from truth. That's the you. It's the you who had willfully and deliberately trespassed God's law. It's the you who had accumulated a debt before God, which was piled way up over your head and completely beyond your capacity to pay off. It was you who had a record of all those unpaid legal obligations written down in God's books in heaven. And it was you who had no means whatsoever to pay those debts or satisfy a holy and sin-hating God. That's the you. It's a you. The you who were constantly exposed to the accusations and charges of the devil. It's you who were without hope and without God in this world. You are complete in him. It's those people who are complete in Christ. What wondrous love is this? It's all grace. It's all mercy. The knowledge of what we were, of where we were, that ought to make us marvel at that little word ye in our verse. You. Think about everything packed into that word you. And then consider not only where you've been and what you were, but what you continue to be even right now. And marvel at the grace of God in this phrase, you. You who labor and strive against the indwelling sin that you hate. It's you that are nonetheless complete in him. It's you who know painfully a proneness to wander from the God you love. It's you, nonetheless, that are complete in him. It's you who understand from personal experience the words of Paul when he said, "The good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would, that I do." It's you who know that experience, who are nonetheless complete in him. It's you, you who daily disappoint yourself with your high-mindedness, with thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think, by the way you fear man rather than fearing God, by the inconsistency of your devotion, by your forgetfulness of God, by your impatience with other people, by your coldness to the lost. It's you who nonetheless are complete in him. It's you who loathe the unbelief that still remains in your heart. It's you who have failed to love God as you ought. It's you who have squandered and misused pretty much every blessing that the Lord has ever given you. It's you who prove to be nothing better than a wandering sheep most of the time. It's you who have a daily need of repentance. You who are complete in him. And it's a wonder that God would be mindful of the likes of us, that in spite of all that we were by nature, and in spite of what we continue to be in presumption and in inexcusable backslidings, that he would stoop down and that he would rescue us and that he would remain faithful to us. It's a marvel that it's you who are complete in him. But that's exactly what he does. That's exactly what he continually does. Stoop to rescue us. Because everything opposite of the you in this phrase, for everything that you implies, there is a him standing on the other side. That's the key, isn't it? It's not just you and all you were and all you continue to be. It's him. And that stands opposite of everything about you. It's him. Him who is the resurrection and the life. Him who has triumphed over Satan in his cross. Him who bore our sins in his body on the tree. Him who took responsibility for all of our crimes and all of our debts, and he submitted to that written list of obligations being nailed to his cross and thereby bore them away. Him who put away once and for all sin by the sacrifice of himself. Him whose perfect righteousness is credited over to all who believe. It's him who rose again to be our great interceding high priest, to be our advocate with the Father, who stands in our defense when we sin. Against all of the you, there is a him. So you are complete in him. You, think of all that you were. Think of all that you continue to be. But you, by grace, are complete in him. Think of everything that he is. Think of everything that he continues to be for you. You are complete in him. And then there's that word are. And that's a precious word. Are. Think about what it could say. He doesn't say will be, does he? He doesn't say you will be complete in him. Someday when your faith is stronger, you'll be complete in him. Someday when your love is more mature and consistent, you'll be complete in him. Someday when you really repent, someday when you really hate sin as you ought, someday where you finally get victory over that, He doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say you will be complete. There are no conditions and there are no qualifications for us to meet that we might someday in the future be complete in Christ. He says you are complete in him. Everything here is a free, unconditional, and unqualified grace. The Spirit of God is not commanding us to be complete. He's not exhorting us to complete ourselves. He's not telling us what to do in order to be complete. He's not telling us to make ourselves complete. He's stating a fact, a reality. He's announcing a finished work. Nothing can be added to this. Nothing can be taken away from this. He says, you are complete in him. Right now, at this present moment, do not imagine that there's anything lacking, that there's anything deficient in your standing before God. You are, he says, complete in him. Our text is speaking to us about a standing, a position that Christians have and enjoy in Christ. And you know how the New Testament is constantly exhorting us to think more about our position, about our standing, about how what we are before God is the truth about us, and we're to reckon those things, credit those things to be true, and that that is the key to victory in this life. If we're always measuring ourselves by our experience, if we're always measuring ourselves by our current circumstances or by our current feelings or mood, then we'll never know victory. We'll never know security. Scripture tells us that in spite of the struggles that we face in the Christian life, in our experience, and that in spite of the raging battle within when it comes to indwelling sin, and that in spite of our coldness, and in spite of the way we feel, and in spite of the incompleteness of our experience, in spite of all those things, we are complete in him. He's telling us about our standing, our position with Christ. We have an unassailable standing before God. Believers are counted righteous. They're credited with righteousness from a perfect Savior. And that is their position. We long that our experience would match our position. And in glory, it will. That's going to be the second best thing about heaven. The best thing about heaven is that Christ is there. The second best thing about heaven is that our experience will match our position, finally. And that is the great longing of every true child of God. But in this fallen world, as we're hindered by the flesh that remains, our experience is not going to match our position. It just won't. But that doesn't mean that our standing is in any way insecure. That's the point, right? That's the point. Just because our experience, what we feel, doesn't match what we are in Christ, doesn't mean what we are in Christ is in any way insecure. You are complete in him. In our experience, we're disobedient and we're unrighteous. In our standing, we're declared to be righteous. Christ's righteousness credited over to us when we believe. Okay, in our experience, we're led as sheep to the slaughter. In our standing, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Those are side-by-side verses in Romans 8. in our experience, it seems that sin often abounds. In our standing, we're dead to sin and alive to God, and we're to reckon that to be true in order to have victory over sin. So in spite of our current experience, in spite of our current feelings, believer, you are, right now, it's a settled fact, you are complete in Him. And then comes the word complete. You are complete in Him. And that's the marvelous key word of this whole phrase, complete. It's a word that's bursting with significance. And what I want to do is just take that word and, like spinning a diamond under the light, letting all the facets shine, let's just spin this word in our fingers and let some of the facets sparkle in this word. What does it mean that we are complete? What does that word mean? Complete. Complete. Well, first look at the previous verse. The word, the same exact word is in verse 9. You see it? What do you think it is? The same exact Greek word, verse 10, it's translated complete. How do you think it's translated in verse number 9? It's translated fullness. Fullness. When the Holy Spirit says in verse number 9 that in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, okay, all the fullness, is that fullness limited in any way? Like, do we have to be careful lest we overstate things? You know, we don't want to go too far with this. It says that Christ, you know, has deity dwelling with Him, but He can't take that. I mean, is there any kind of guardrails here? Is there any way you can speak too highly of the deity of Christ? It's impossible, right? Without limit, without exception, the Godhead dwells bodily in Him. All the fullness, without limit, without measure, without reserve. So, when the Spirit of God says in verse number 10 that you are complete in Him, it first of all means that whatever it means that it is without limit, without any qualification or condition of any time. Whatever we are in Christ, we are that completely. And whatever we have in Christ, we have that without limit, without reserve. In all matters concerning our spiritual welfare, concerning our soul's salvation, we are complete and we do not need any supplement of any kind. All the fullness is ours. We're complete in Him. So that means nothing must ever be added to Christ. And that is what we've seen as we've gone through this chapter together in the last month or so. That really is the context in which these statements about the gospel are being made. Paul is afraid for these believers that they will be led astray by false teachers who are trying to supplement other things into their faith. And he knows that that is going to be the propensity of Christ's church because of that dynamic between experience, which is disappointing, and standing, which God's word says is complete. There seems to be this disconnect. Maybe I need something else. No. Whatever you have in Christ, you have limitlessly. You have completely full, all the fullness. So the church does not need the traditions of men, rigorous self-discipline, ascetic practices, all kinds of other things to make me feel more secure or more forgiven. What I need is Christ alone, and anything that supplements Him is actually replacing Him. That's the message of Colossians 2. You try to supplement Christ with something else, what you're doing is you're replacing Him. What we have in Christ, we have without limit and without any need for supplement. Having Christ, we don't need anything else. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But in the second place, that word complete, It refers to something being fully supplied, which means that having Christ, we have everything that we could possibly need. Everything we could possibly need is in Christ. Having Christ, we can say, I have enough. Paul says, all things are yours, for you are Christ's, in another passage. The child of God is thoroughly furnished when it comes to the standing of his soul before God. Every need supplied. We must not and we need not look for anything else to supply or supplement our standing with God. Do we need righteousness? We have that in Christ. We are made the righteousness of God in him. If Christ is my righteousness, I can never be more righteous and I can never be less righteous. I'm complete in him. Do I need acceptance with God? You are accepted in the Beloved. Do I need to be justified? You're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do I need to be forgiven? It is written, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Do I need a clear conscience? The blood of Christ, sprinkled on my heart by the Holy Spirit, is able to purge my conscience from dead works to serve the living God, Hebrews 10 says. He's able to make the sinner perfect as pertaining to the conscience, Hebrews 9. And the blood of Christ answers better things than that of Abel's blood and proclaims me not guilty. Do I need perfection? Does God require perfection in order to enter heaven? Well, that's supplied by Christ, who by his one offering perfected forever all those who are sanctified by his blood, Hebrews 10 says. He presents us holy and unblameable and unreprovable, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Every need supplied by Christ. Is it grace that you need? Do you need pardoning grace for your sins? Do you need restoring grace because of your wanderings? Do you need strengthening grace because you are weak? Do you need reviving grace to overcome your deadness? Do you need cleansing grace to forgive you of the filth that is within your heart? Christ says, my grace is sufficient for thee. You are fully supplied in Christ. So he is an infinite, boundless storehouse of mercy. You are complete in him. Complete in every position of danger or duty. Christ is our all-sufficient supply. In peace, in trouble, in health, in sickness, in joy, or in sorrow, in life, or in death, in time, or in eternity, we are fully supplied in Christ. Ye are complete in him. And then the word complete is frequently translated filled or fullness, and so it could be rendered satisfied. Are you satisfied with Christ? Are you satisfied with Christ alone? You ought to be. You ought to be satisfied with Christ. You ought to be satisfied with him as your sin-atoning sacrifice, because he has satisfied the justice of God in his work on the cross. And you ought to be satisfied with his purpose for you and your life, because he has assured you that he's working out your eternal good. And you ought to be satisfied with his providence, because it's holy and wise and good. He does all things well. And you ought to be satisfied with his love, because love cannot be quenched. In fact, it's an everlasting love. He loved us from all eternity. Nothing can fill the soul except Christ. Are you satisfied with Christ? Learning is never going to fill your soul. Emotional experiences will never fill your soul. Relationships will not fill your soul. Money or human resources will not fill your soul. The applause and the approval of other people is never going to fill your soul. Not even sound doctrine all by itself can fill your soul. Only Christ can fill your soul. Only Christ can satisfy. You are complete in Him, fully satisfied, fully supplied, without any limit whatsoever. No reserve. You are complete. And where is this perfect completeness? Where is this infinite supply? Where is this soul satisfaction? It is found only in Him. And ye are complete in Him. Not in His church, but in Him. Not in the ordinances of the church, in Him. Not in doctrine, in Him. Not in my feelings, but in Him. Not in my experiences, but in Him. Not in my works, but in Him. Not in my devotion to Him, but in Him. Not in my faith. That's not where my resting lies either. Not in my faith. It's in Him. You are complete in Him. Just linger over those two words. In Him. What a fullness those two words are. Everything is in Christ. If you are in Christ, then you are complete. Because believers are in Christ, because they're in union with Christ, attached to Christ, one with Christ, they are complete. And those two little words, in Him, they describe for us what the New Testament calls union with Christ. That the believer is one with Christ. And that's kind of a mysterious kind of concept. So Scripture gives us certain metaphors to help us with that. And so He says, okay, so here's one way to think of it. He is the groom and you are the bride. It's, you know, the two come together, become one flesh. They're one now. There's a union. Or think of it this way. You are the branches and He is the vine. Or you are His body and He is the head. That's the union we're talking, the oneness that we're talking about. Or an Old Testament illustration. You know, He is the ark and you are His Noahs. Right? He's the ark, you are His Noahs, safe in Him. We're blessed, we're protected, we're spared, we're redeemed and justified and sanctified and kept all in Him. That is the key to this phrase. Only in Christ are these things. This union of our souls with Christ is a real and a living union, so that God considers anything His Son as, you are too. And anything accomplished by His Son has been accomplished for you as well. There's a oneness between the two. All His assets are your assets. All your debts are His debts. There's a covenant union between the believer and Jesus Christ. And if that is how God sees it, then that is how it really is. That believers are in Him, one with Him. And this is the fountain of all of our mercies, of everything that we have ever known as in by way of blessing or promise, every grace that has ever been given to us, it has all flowed to us through that fount of every blessing, the Lord Jesus Christ in our union with Him. All things that pertain unto life and godliness are mediated to us through the knowledge of Him, through our relationship with Him, through our oneness, our union with Jesus Christ. And what that means is there is no completeness outside of Christ. This is the only place where there is satisfaction, the only place where there is completeness, the only place where all of my needs are fully supplied, only in Christ. There's no completeness outside of Christ. Outside of Christ, you'll never be satisfied, never be filled. You'll never be fully prepared for eternity. In Christ alone is this blessedness. Fitness for heaven, completeness, is found exclusively in Jesus Christ. So are you safely in Christ? That's the question, isn't it? Ye are complete in Him. Are you safely in Christ Jesus? Like Noah, have you found safety in your God-approved ark? An ark that is stronger than you, who will bear you safely through the judgment and land you safe on Canaan's side? Have you found shelter and refuge in the ark for all of God's Noahs? Jesus Christ is that ark. He is that strong shelter and refuge who keeps believers safe the same way that the ark kept people safe. The ark was basically Noah's substitute. The ark got wet instead of Noah, right? The ark got wet instead of Noah. That's how the ark kept Noah safe. In the same way, the Lord Jesus is the substitute for all those who will come to Him and receive His grace. And He keeps them safe in Him, and they have every need supplied in Him, in their oneness with Him. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. So have you entered the ark? Have you entered the ark that has been prepared for all of God's Noahs? Are you safely in that stronghold that's provided for trespassers and sinners and people that are dead in their sins and people who are walking according to the course of this world, people who are living for their fallen desires and fleshly habits? Have you found refuge in a place prepared for sinners? Have you ceased trying to earn your favor with God? Have you stopped trying to convince God that you are good enough? And have you taken your whole rest in Christ, relying on Him alone to carry you through, that He is all of your completeness, that in and of yourself you're nothing but incompleteness, but in Him is fullness and satisfaction without reserve and without limit? Do you know yourself to be complete in Christ? All who flee to Christ in mercy are complete in Him. In themselves, left to themselves, they may be poor, shortcoming sinners. But seeing that they have laid hold on Christ, God looks upon them as complete, completely pardoned, completely righteous, and completely pure. No jot or tittle of any condemnation or charge can ever be laid against them because they are found attached to Jesus Christ. They're in Him. And they only are the only ones who are absolutely prepared for eternity. They are complete in Him. And so is that you. Have you found the ark
for all of God's Noahs. If you have, if you have taken your shelter in the Lord Jesus, if you have seized upon him, laid hold of him by faith, then Scripture says, a God who cannot lie says, you, in spite of everything you are, not will be, are complete, limitlessly supplied, absolutely every need satisfied by virtue of your union with Jesus Christ in him. Ye are complete in him. That is the glory of the gospel of free grace. Ye are complete in him. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, how we praise thee for the truth of this glorious text, and how we pray that you would impress it deeply on our hearts, that you would give us a assurance and conviction about these things, that those in Christ are complete in Christ. We pray that this text would be a soul-strengthening promise to all those who are believing in the Lord Jesus today. And for those yet outside of Christ, O Lord, will you open their hearts that they might lay hold on Christ and find all their completeness in him. We thank thee that our standing has nothing to do with us, and is completely and totally based on the completion and perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would help us to live that way this week. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.